Hi, I'm Danielle Kelly. Welcome to another JPR Live session. We get to chat up artists we love to listen to here on the Rhythm and News Service, as well as hear one-of-a-kind in-studio performances. Live sessions are made possible in part by support from the Talent Club in Talent, Oregon, hosting live music and cold drinks in a casual atmosphere. Find their music lineup at talentclublive.com. Today, my guest is Southern Oregon-based brothers duo, originally from the Midwest. We'll talk about that in a bit. They're known for their passion for beer, running insane distances and often, music, and their harsh but playful brotherly banter. Welcome back to the JPR studios, Aaron and Phil Reed of the Brothers Reed.
Howdy.
It's great to have you guys in here. Thanks, you guys are busy guys, so thanks for spending some time here with us. You're here in support of your sixth studio album, congratulations, that's coming out this weekend. It's called Long Way to Go, where you're celebrating by way of a release party at the historic Holly Theater in Medford. That's Saturday, tomorrow, December 13th. And you can find tickets for the event at a couple places. I'm sure the Holly Theater, that's an R-E ending, .org, as well as the brothersreed.com. Is that the places that people should find tickets?
It would just direct you to hollytheater.org.
Okay.
From our website.
Hollytheater.org. That's an R-E ending. They're very fancy over there. Fancy. From the carpet to the web address. So congratulations on the new record. And just in case you've got some folks out there who have not met you before, I just wanted to do a brief backup about who you guys are and where you came from. You're definitely Southern Oregon to the core, but that's not where you started out. You started in the Midwest in Missouri, am I right? St. Charles?
We didn't start playing together in Missouri because me and Phil are like 6 years apart. So right when he started to play guitar, I moved to California basically when I was 20. And so we didn't play together until we were both Oregonians. So we're
truly are.
Grew up in Missouri, though.
Yeah, we grew up in Missouri.
You paint a little quick picture of growing up in Missouri. You had a musical family, right? Was it and siblings? And what was the dynamic there?
Yeah.
Mom is music director, still is, for a church. She's been through several churches as we were growing up. And she's a fantastic piano player. And then we have a brother in Nashville who can play bass, guitar, piano, sing, all of that. But he sells plants.
Yeah. Okay. No landscaping. Yeah.
And do you all get to play together any once in a while? Do they ever join you on tour or
no, our mom's played with us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's played at the Criterion a couple times. And then I think we've done some stuff on YouTube with her. We've never done anything with Michael. He's like an emo guy when it comes to music, even though you wouldn't know by looking at him. So we don't have a lot of stuff that we would play together.
You guys are both married out here to some exceptional partners. And Phil, you've got a new one toddling around. Do you both foresee the Rogue Valley remaining home? Or is kind of the dream to explode your career to take you to a bigger city with a bigger music epicenter? Or is Rogue Valley home?
Yeah, Rogue Valley's home. Plus we're finding, you know, with all the touring we've done that really, unless you're shooting for something very specific, like if you want to do like, you know, mainstream country, that would probably be advantageous to go to Nashville. But outside of that, you know, if you're touring, it doesn't really matter where you're based out of. And this is a great place to be based out of anyway.
I think Medford's almost too big of a city for me. I was a little more in the woods, but yeah.
Well, you've got an emo brother out in Nashville now, right? So if you need to crash on a couch and dip your toe into the country scene, you can always crash
on his couch.
And take over his CD player. The Brothers Reed are our guests here for this JPR Live session. They are performing live at the Holly Theater, Medford, Saturday, December 13th, releasing their new sixth studio album. Info and tickets at brothersreed.com and hollytheater.org. What would you guys like to start with for a song?
All right. We're going to start with this one called, I don't tell people what it's called because it's a song that I named
after. Secret song.
Yeah, it's a song I named after, or it's about these two songs we just don't like playing anymore because we kind of became the band that was known for playing those two songs. And it's comical. I mean, we don't mind playing them anymore, but I just don't want people to know what they are. So I just don't tell you what it is. But yeah, this song's called Billie Jean Hallelujah. Very 90s throwback.
Oh.
What is the truth? What's it mean to you? Probably just a thread stuck on a spool, tied rope a walk on a sandy beach. Don't retreat, the sand is one go for release. Remove the lens, uncoil the tents, stare at the sun, we're all but one, just having fun. Now it's time just to let it go. Stop singing all the same old songs. Billie Jean Hallelujah. Now it's time just to let it go. See the sky, no matter how you try. Make amends, full comprehend, keep round the bend. Don't play the fool, unveil the you. Flying free out through the trees, just make believe. Now it's time just to let it go. Stop singing all the same old songs. Billie Jean, Hallelujah. Now it's time just to let it go. Sniff. Sit on the strain, don't be so tame, it's yours to take. Don't stain your eyes, soft lullabies. Feel the zen for recompense, the strings will bend. Up on the hill, this ain't a bill. It's just a dark twist on the plot, use what you got. Now it's time to let go. Stop singing all the same old songs. Billie Jean, Hallelujah. Billie Jean, Hallelujah. Now it's time to let it go. You gotta let it go. Just let it go.
Billie Jean, Hallelujah, or The Secret Song from the new sixth album by the Brothers Reed. It's Aaron and Phil Reed live in the Steve Nelson Performance Studio here at Jefferson Public Radio. So about that new album, Aaron, I know you as well as a musician, as a producer in the Valley, as many people do. You've produced a lot of artists that our listeners are familiar with. Clayton Joseph Scott, Jared Alexander Masters, Becca McAlvage, and others that I'm not coming to mind at the moment, as well as yourself. You produced the last five albums yourselves, correct?
Yeah, we produced all of them in the literal production word. Mm-hmm. We had the first album, the second album, and the fourth mastered outside of me. Mm-hmm. I didn't master them.
But you're engineering and recording it yourselves at your home studio.
I master other people quite a bit. So I did the third one and the fifth one. You know, they say you're not supposed to master your own album, but it's like,
you're too close.
It's whatever, you know, it's fine. And then, but this one we've been working with another mixing engineer too, you know, so it's been kind of me and him combining heads in the studio to mix it, and then he's mastering it. So,
yeah. What was the reason for for doing that switch and handing it over the reins, handing over the reins to someone?
Well, we were gonna be on tour, and this whole year has been like kind of a different year. So it's like a whole theme of not pushing anything. I'm not trying to like, you know, take on any kind of stress or anything. It's like whatever. So yeah, the whole thing was on tour. He'll mix it up. And we'll get home and get them ordered. And we didn't quite get where we wanted it to be on tour. And then so we worked on it for a couple more weeks and almost decided to release it. Well, we are putting the mixes we've got are going on the CD, but we're not moving anything over to streaming till we get it exactly how we want it. So we're gonna move forward, and I think the goal is to do one song release each week starting in January.
Oh, cool.
So it'll be like 17 weeks in a row of releasing a single each week, and that seems to be the way it's done nowadays. So we're dropping into that a little more, you know, like put out singles, even though it is part of one album, you know, instead of just boom, there's 17 songs.
All like new content constantly.
Yeah. Well, we're goldfish now, so.
For sure.
The content train, we're getting on it. Choo-choo.
Well, speaking of, you know, having helped do some stuff and offloading some of the, you know, working as a team with people, I'm always interested to ask indie artists what their perspective is and what your opinion is or dream to have or not to have a label or something like that. Like, you guys are very self-made. You guys tour extensively. You play extensively together as a band, as a duo, and you'll divide and conquer. And you're all over the map playing shows separately, sometimes three of those combinations in the same day.
Yeah.
You know, you guys, and you're engineering your own music. What is that a fantasy or a goal to have someone help with that and be on that scale, or do you like doing all that yourself?
It is in a way. We've had offers to like manage us and stuff from even some like pretty bigger reputable stuff, but it was basically like, it's all come late now, so we can like slide our work across the table to them and be like, this is where we're at. This is what, you know, the living that we make off of it, can you be assured? And all of them are like, no. And it's just like, you know, you're going to be like kind of the bottom rung when you start, especially these bigger stuff. So they didn't work out. And labels nowadays, you know, it's tricky because you sign with a label, you're pretty much just signing like a loan. You know, you're getting a loan. So, and I have friends in LA who came out of their contracts with like $150,000 in debt because the album didn't clear what they need to clear, you know? And so, yeah, we haven't been offered any kind of record deal either. But at this point, it's just like, we're just flowing with it.
Yeah.
If it happens in a good way, we're like open to any of it. You know what I mean? But we just keep doing what we're doing.
You guys are hustling.
That's all you can really do, you know?
You're making it look good, and it looks like you're having a great time with it. The Brothers Reed share a lot online, socially. And you know, it's like watching like a comic unfold sometimes. You guys have a lot of witty banter. You guys are spending a lot of time on the road. Do you guys have a favorite memory of late from the road? I mean, you guys put long miles in. It gets weird, I'm sure.
I can think of
what's
one.
What's that?
Wisman.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So yeah. We started listening to this podcast like when it first came out, called Small Town Murder, and it's gotten huge now. I mean, the first time we saw them, it was just like in a crappy comedy club in Sacramento. And then afterwards, we canceled a gig to go to that show. And we waited in line to like talk to them, just say hi. And Jimmy Wisman, we said, hey, you know, we're in a band. We canceled our show to be here tonight. He was like, you canceled your show to be here? We're like, he's like, get back here. So we like went backstage, hung out with them.
What, 7 years ago?
7 years, maybe, yeah. And we've been in like weird contact with him. Like, he started following us and would comment every once in a while on our stuff. Now they've gotten so big. And this last tour, he came to our show in Phoenix.
Oh, cool.
And he had such a good time. He came to our show in Prescott, like 3 days later. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, cool.
So, like, yeah, just like throwing him on our Instagram, like, shot our likes up like 1,000%. You know, it was like, so kind of funny, you know, but it was just
like
so
giant
cool
theaters everywhere. They
they're doing 2,000 plus rooms everywhere.
Cool.
Yeah, and
very cool.
So, yeah, it's pretty neat. And he's just such a, he's so, like he would be on the podcast. He's just a mellow, cool dude. I mean, he's not overly mellow, but
down to earth.
Yeah, he's just, yeah.
So, yeah, we got to hang out with him twice on this last tour.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Pretty neat. Very neat. It was cool. Yeah.
Well, we'd love to hear another song. What you guys want to play?
All right.
All right. This next one is called The Proud Father of a Three-Legged Dog, and it's about my dog Banksy, and I'm very proud of him. He's a good boy. He has three legs.
One, two, three, four.
Father of a three-legged dog. That's the Brothers Reed here live at Jefferson Public Radio. They'll be performing that live at their album celebration party at the Holly Theater downtown Medford, December 13th. Again, you can find tickets and info at hollytheater.org. That's theater with the R-E at the end. Who's going to be performing at the concert tonight? It's just the two of y'all right now. Is it the two of you on stage or do you have a bigger band?
No, we have our fiddle player, Brianna Murphy. She's going to be there. And then Nancy Martin is playing cello with us.
Oh, right on.
So it's going to be pretty cool. And then we have one more special guest, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're keeping that a secret.
Yeah.
Secret special guest.
But yeah.
Find out by getting tickets and attending tomorrow at the Holly Theater. I heard somewhere on social media that this event is not only a record release, but also a celebration of life. Of recovery and wellness celebration. It's been a year anniversary. It will be about a year anniversary of a pretty wild, life-changing event that happened for you guys. And I'm sure you've been telling this story ad nauseum. Some of our listeners have heard this and know this story, but for those who don't, it's a pretty incredible story. Are you guys up for telling our listeners a little bit about this last crazy year?
Yeah.
The most recent telling I heard, Phil, you recounting setting up for a gig, you got there ahead of time, ahead of Aaron, and you got a phone call that kind of started things in motion, shifting
things.
Yeah,
yeah. We showed up to a gig, and Aaron was late to the gig. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to start setting up. And then Aaron called me, and he was getting looked at by some EMT folks. And he told me that he passed out in the gym. And then he was still trying to get to the gig. I was hearing him tell them that he needs to make it to the gig. And they were like, no, you need to go to the hospital. So I told Aaron to go ahead and go to the hospital. And I'll play the gig. No issues. Just go get looked at. And so he was riding his trainer bike super hard. And he's always kind of talked about having low blood pressure. So I just kind of thought he overdid it and passed out. And then, I was setting up for the gig and I was fully set up. I had talked to his wife. She was there with him. And I just told her to give me an update. And right before I was going to play the first song of the set, I got a phone call from her. So I just took the call and I was on stage. And she told me that my brother had a brain tumor. So, yeah, I rushed to the hospital and I'll let him take over from there.
Yeah. So, yep, December 14th last year, I blacked out of the Y, got taken to the hospital. And I don't really remember any of it, even though I was awake, I guess. I had like a spinal tap, all this stuff done, and I didn't, can't remember any of it. The only thing I remember is this guy walking into the dark little room that they put you in the ER before in between things. And the guy came in, and that's like the first thing I remember. And he just came up and was like, you've got a brain tumor. It's not good. He's like, we need to get it out immediately. And I was like, for some reason, I asked him what would happen if we didn't get it out. And I was like, because I could just tell it was intense. I was like, how long I got to live? And he's like, 4 to 6 weeks. And I was like, well, how long have they get it out? And he's like, 13 months. And right when he said that, I just like went to sleep. It wasn't like a fear. I just like, even my wife asked, did you guys give him something? And the doctor was like, no. And so I just went to sleep. And, you know, I've never been religious. I grew up Catholic. My family's very Catholic. And, you know, I always believed in God, but I just got this thing, person came up from behind me. I never even saw them and just said, this isn't going to kill you, man. And I came out of that and I was just like, well, I guess I'm not going to die. Like God just told me I'm not going to die. And, so it was tough. It was tough 8 days before I went in for the surgery. And most time with my kind of thing that I had, they're not even able to get most of it out. Sometimes, quite often, they can't get any of it out. And they ended up doing what's called a full gross resection on me. So they got everything out except for the little bit that sits in between your brain parts. And so then I had all this tests done on me. And I started doing chemo and radiation. And then it came back that I was like a very unusual person. All the stuff that made me who I am inside made it very weird, but in a good way. It was all the expert in San Francisco said I'm the rare of the rare. And basically what ended up happening is I have this thing called the methylation rate that gauges how well you react to chemo. And mine is almost as maximum as it can be. So what happens is it kills the cells in your body to where they don't grow back because of the methylation rate, which is very, very rare when you have a type of cancer. So then, yeah, I did 6 weeks of radiation and came back for my follow-up. And my radiation doctor was like, this is so not normal, man. He showed me the x-ray. He showed me the things which I hadn't looked at. And he's like, this is what you looked like after surgery. And it was still a mess. He's like, this is what you look like now. He's like, it's completely black hole. He's like, and we do not see that like in that short amount of time, if ever. And he's like, he told me, congratulations. He said, you know, and based on your methylation rate, he's like, if it comes back, blah, 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 we'll just have to hit it with radiation. No more. So anyway, I got all these really amazing, affirming things that I was like told in a weird spiritual way. And not like, it wasn't like, oh, I believe this. It was literally like, okay, I guess this isn't going to kill me. And now it'll be 12 months, the day before 12 months. And still just have nothing but a hole in my brain. Now I get to have a break from MRIs for every 3 months for a year, and then I'll go to every 6 months, then only once a year. And I've met other people who have had the same thing now. And I've met a guy who was told he had 3 months to live, and it's been 24 years.
So congratulations.
It's pretty crazy. It's been a crazy, crazy, crazy experience. But in the weirdest way, it's changed so many things in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, I really appreciate life so much now. And I've always been a very driven person, and in the best ways possible. I'm not as driven anymore. I'm just like going with the flow.
What was happening? Like, what was the schedule like before this happened? And did you have to cancel a lot of music? And what did that feel? Were you taking over doing solo shows instead? Or, I mean, I'm a
short period. I took over some duo shows, and because we didn't, you know, it's like I can cover it. But yeah. And then there was just one little hiccup where he had like an allergic reaction from some seizure meds. Mm-hmm. So I went,
that
I
was the worst part of the entire
2 week
thing.
Tour by myself.
How long was it after? I mean, that's a very, wow, 2 week tour by yourself.
Yeah.
I remember that. That was paper plates and creating fake Aaron in the passenger seat. What was the, you know, were you able to pick up a guitar, Aaron, when you, you know, in the middle of all that, how long was it before you could?
So it's really weird when you come out of brain surgery and your brain's been exposed to air and everything, it like shuts off. So, and the part, and like you come out of it, you're like a 1 year old. You know, I couldn't read. It was like everything was just like a complete, I could see all the letters and everything, but I couldn't read. You know, it was like insane, you know, and so, but then you slowly, your brain starts to adjust. And I went and played, I mean, I had to look at the words, but I sang some songs on stage on New Year's Eve, you know? And I think it was maybe about 2 weeks when I started playing guitar again and started with like really easy songs. Then it just would slowly, it slowly got to the point where it's like, okay, I've got it back now. The thing is I do, my short-term memory and weird memory stuff is glitchy and is gonna be for the rest of my life. That's just, it's the gift I have by having a hole in my brain now, you know. But so I'll have, you know, times where like I can't remember somebody's name exactly, or like, but with the music stuff, it's pretty, I don't know if it's just because it's in a different part of your brain, but it's like I don't really forget. And I was forgetting stuff leading up to having the seizure for a while. But
interesting,
he said it could have been in there 2 years, just growing really slow. But I was like being in the middle of a song and just like forgetting how to play it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, I'm just getting older, you know. And but that's not what it was. So
have you been have you looked into anything about how research on music sort of helping to grow synapses and like help build the brain in any way?
Because I haven't. I'm the really weird, I don't know how normal it is, but I just didn't care about it. Yeah. I just didn't. I don't want to read about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, my wife is a nurse. She just takes care of everything for me. People are like, oh, what chemo are you on? I'm like, I don't know what it's called. Like, I just take it, you know, when I'm supposed to, you know.
So. Well, I wondered what if at all, how this changed your relationship to music and your career in music. I mean, a lot of us in our community know you, Aaron, as a you know, a tough guy, like as far as like attitude wise, you know, like I remember some of the first statements you made were like, this isn't going to stop me. This is like, no fear. And so, but you know, it was a big, sort of life thing, you know. Has the experience changed your relationship to music and being a musician at all?
I don't know, other than I'm just stoked to like, I don't care where we're playing. I don't care what it is. Everything I do now is like, happy. Like if I gotta go work and I didn't, there's no such thing as like don't feel like it. It's like I get to, and I get to do this, and I get to do that. And with me acting like, oh, everything's perfectly fine, I can admit like I have had my fears for sure. It's not like open one-way street. Like I have my moments where it's just like, can't believe this like happened. Like it's like nuts, you know. But that's my human side thinking. Whenever I get there, if I just like shut off my brain and let my soul take over, it still does that. Like, you're cool, man. We're cool. Like, and it's just like, okay, I am cool. You know, and I like feel way better like immediately. Yeah, so it's crazy. My wife's just a complete rock. So it's that really, I've never been a lean on people person, and I'm like leaning on.
And your brother's not so bad either.
Several people. Yeah.
The whole community just adores you guys. I know that you guys show all of your audiences an incredibly good time. So congratulations on coming through and thank and the great attitude and on the sixth studio album. That's so exciting. The Brothers Reed are our guests here in this live session here at JPR. They're performing their new music from their new sixth studio album, Long Way to Go, at the Holly Theater, December 13th. Tickets and information at hollytheater.org. We have time for one more song. What would you like to wrap up with?
It's Too Long Way to Go. So this song I actually wrote like a year and a half before any of this happened. And when I wrote it, I didn't get it. I thought it sucked. Didn't really sound like something I would write. I was confused. So then I finally finished it up and I played it for my wife. I was like, I wrote the song, it sucks. Think I'm gonna get rid of it. And I played it for her and she was like, that's the best song you've ever written, honey. And I was like, oh, well, you're a nurse, so what do you know? And so then I took it to my little brother and I was like, hey man, I wrote this new song, it sucks. Thing I'm gonna get rid of it. And then I played it for him and he was like, oh, it's the best song you've ever written. I was like, God. And I gotta play it all the time. So we started playing it, still never understood it. And then when all this stuff happened, I did understand it and it made perfect sense. Like my buddy Jared Masters told me, he's like, sometimes you write stuff and you don't know why and you find out why later. There's one of them is called Long Way to Go.
Keep on rolling, keep on riding, keep on running till the sun stops shining. Keep on moving to the misty morning, doing your thing out on the lawn. Keep on laughing, keep on searching, making time for the ones who are worth it. Making the most of the time you're working, never forgetting what it's for. But you got a long, long, long way to go. You got a long, long, long way to go. Keep on learning, keep on burning, keep that mother effing motor churning. Keep repeating to yourself you're worth it. Never take a single second for granted, 'cause time's the only thing that's certain. Keep on finding, keep on grinding. Keep old Clark, his headlights are blinding. It's part of luck, but it's mostly mindset. Sometimes it sucks, but I don't really mind it. When you're tired, then you know you're trying. But you got a long, long, long way to go. You got a long, long, long way to go. If I were ever to ask you to show me your truth, then I would cover you. But you got a long, long, long way to go. You got a long, long, long way to go. You got a long, long, long way to go. Oh, to go, oh, to go. long, long, long way to go. They got a long, long, long way to go. They got a long, long, long way to go. If I were to ask you, if I ever ask you, if I ever feel you, if I ever touch you, if I ever hold you, if I ever see you. If I ever to be, long, long way to go. Got a long, long, long way to go. Got a long, long, long way to go. You got a long way to go.
Long way to go. That's the Brothers Reed live here at Jefferson Public Radio. That is the title track of their new 6th studio album. It's going to be released this weekend, December 13th. They are having an album release party at the beautiful historic Holly Theater in Medford. Tickets at hollytheater.org. Thanks so much for coming in, you guys, and sharing some stories and your new songs.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, make sure we get a copy when you get that hot off the press. We want one here so we can spin it. This live session is made possible in part by support from the Talent Club in Talent, Oregon, hosting live music and cold drinks in a casual atmosphere. You can find their music calendar at talentclublive.com. This live session has been engineered by John Griffin of Luna Zen Studio. I'm your host, Danielle Kelly. You can find audio and photos from this session up on our website later today, ijpr.org, as well as a little later on, anywhere you find your podcast. Thanks again, Aaron and Phil, for coming in. Congratulations on the new record.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Open Air will continue right after this.